Marvelous. Welcome to the Old Testament, everybody. We will just do 1 Samuel today, just to be clear. And I'm very excited to be in some Old Testament narrative. I'm quite daunted as well. Is it anybody's first time leading? Well, a couple of people. Anybody's first time studying 1 Samuel? Put your hands up. Come on, there we go. There. Okay, a few people. That's kind of encouraging, more than I thought have actually done it before. I've been studying John for the last 6 years, so this is a kind of very exciting moment for me. And I'm also very aware that my understanding of John is significantly better than my understanding of 1 Samuel. That just has to be true. And maybe you feel similarly, like this is a book you're not as familiar with, or even a whole genre that you're not as familiar with. Are we going to do a terrible job at midweek this year? Probably yes and no, I think. So sometimes we will get it wrong. I'm confident some of the stuff I say to you today will turn out to be wrong. But that's okay. That's true every time we teach the Bible. And remember, we have the Spirit to help us. As long as God's word is being read and spoken about, that's a great start. So our job is just to try to share what we understand from God's word at this point in time, okay, and trust him to do the rest. Why don't I pray again as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book. Thank you for all that it teaches us, and thank you that you will speak through it this year. Help us to depend on you, to trust you to be at work. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. I'm wearing an earpiece because there are some mums downstairs who somehow Ed Blower has managed to make it so that they can hear what I'm saying via this, which is very, you know, exciting technological advances as far as I'm concerned. Good. Turn to the person next to you or in a three and share with them as honestly as you feel you can how you feel about leading Bible studies in 1 Samuel this year. Cool. Let's come back together. Is there anyone happy to share? You don't have to share, but Kevin. Yeah. So some of the logistics of how we teach it are to be worked out. Yeah, good. Yeah. Yeah, fun. Yeah. So I hope people are excited. It's a great read. Andy told me on Wednesday night that he hadn't managed to get past chapter 2. Hopefully you've read it now, Andy. Sorry, I won't shame anybody else. good, anything else? Any other general feelings? Yeah, Solomon. Yeah, good, yeah. Excellent. That's a good way to start the year. Thanks, Solomon. Right. Well, we're going to start with a Kahoot, for a blast from the past. This is the only thing I missed from lockdown, basically. So if you could all on your, well, I should say now, you'll need your phone for this. If you've got one, don't worry if you haven't, you can still play along. And then if you can use a physical Bible to look at 1 Samuel when we get to that. If you try and switch between the two on your phone, I think it will just keep logging you out, basically. So www.kahoot.it. Well done, everybody. And then there's your game pin. Anya, what are you doing? Are you trying to use the QR code? You're quite far away. Okay, well, you better be good. I want to have a winning streak. And this, you know, this is supposed to be fun, so don't panic too much. It's fairly low level fun, I will admit. Yeah, you get kicked off if you... Oh, wow. How do they know? Is there a camera as well? Are they watching?
Oh, they're watching me.
It's better than I even realized it. Anybody think that they still need to get on? Should we make a start? Oh, Dahi's still going. Technology has failed him. Who is Pikachu 5002? Oh. I don't know why I even asked the question. Obviously it was you, Simon. Good. Right, let's start, Callum. Thank you. So, easy one to start. And there's a poll. It's anonymous. Nobody will know the answer. How many times have you read 1 Samuel in preparation for this year? 0, 1, 2, or 3 plus? Do the mums need to see this? I think they need to see the screen. Okay, thank you for your honesty. Wonderful. That is very helpful to know for the activities that we do coming up. Next question, please, Callum. Who wrote 1 Samuel? Samuel? David? Gad or Nathan? Ahilud the recorder and Sheva the secretary. There's some fun names that you didn't realize you might need to know. Oh, good. Yeah, we don't know. So that's a kind of appropriate split. We don't really know who wrote 1 Samuel. Well, so excellent point, Charlene. Samuel dies during the book. And David, you know, he does eventually also die at the end of 2 Samuel. So, you know, but I think it's probably not David. But I suspect Samuel, Gad, and Nathan probably all had a hand in it. And then at some point, a final editor kind of finished the job. But we don't know who that was. We could probably roughly date it, but we can talk about that if you want to. We don't really know. Here's the answer. Next question. Ooh, a slider. So this is going to test how well you've read it. In which chapter does David fight Goliath? And you need to drag. No, you're not allowed to use the Bible. That's for later. This is just from memory. Ooh. Well done, everybody. I mean, that was quite good. Chapter 17, very good. Okay, these are all going to be quite similar. So let's keep going, Callum. Oh, there's a scoreboard. In which chapter do the people ask for a king? Oh, well done. I think you might get points for being close. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how it works. I mean, I think the scoreboard will tell us that everyone's on 0 still, but I wanted to take out that possible, oh, is there? Oh, right. Okay. Don't get proud if you're in first place. I tried to remove that by not awarding any points for any of the questions, but Kahoot has overruled and wants there to be a winner. So next question, Carl. In which chapter does David first spare Saul's life? Ooh. Toby's cheating. That's okay. Ooh, slightly more split. Oh, slightly later than you thought. Keep going, Callum. Sorry, these are... I may have put too many of these in. In which chapter is Hannah's prayer? What's he doing? Well done. Chapter 2. Are there any more? One more? Here we go. In which chapter does David actually become king? Anya's looking worried. Abort. Well done. Oh gosh, what's happening? Oh, I thought I put the wrong answer in there. Yeah, so I mean, there's actually only 31 chapters in 1 Samuel. So that happens in 2 Samuel. But in chapter 2, so you know, technically chapter 33 of the whole. Good. I mean, that's stupid, but it's good to know where stuff happens in the book. I would really encourage you to try and know the book well enough that you could flick to the right bit of it when you're talking about something. I think that's just really valuable, for your own Bible study. Let's do the next question, Callum. I think this is the last one for a bit. This is a poll. Did you also read 2 Samuel? In preparation for this year. Not ever. Lovely. Good. I mean, that's probably what I expected. It's worth saying up front, in case you didn't know, that 1 and 2 Samuel were originally one book. Don't panic too much about that. The fact that we're only going to do half of the book then in our Bible studies this year. I think that we'll still make huge progress and we'll still be able to understand the purpose of 1 Samuel. We should bear that in mind though, that the story arc doesn't really finish in chapter 31. It actually finishes at the end of 2 Samuel. So that's worth remembering. And one thing which holds these two together as one book is Hannah's prayer at the beginning of 1 Samuel and then David's song at the end of 2 Samuel. So they kind of work as bookends. So why don't you open up 1 Samuel 2. There will be a little bit more Kahoot to come later. So maybe use a real Bible. And if you look at 1 Samuel 2, you can always check 2 Samuel 22, 23 later. But there's lots of similarities. So let me read you some of the things that come up in both. So Hannah praises God that her horn is exalted in the Lord and rejoices in his salvation. And then down in verse 10, she trusts that God will exalt the horn of his anointed, his king. When you get to the end of 2 Samuel, David, God's king, praises God as the horn of his salvation. They both call to the Lord in their distress. They both call God the rock and proclaim there is no rock except their God. They both give God credit for saving them from their enemies. They both testify to God's power to bring about astonishing reversals, even from Sheol and death. And they both testify particularly to God's justice and his vengeance in salvation, his faithfulness to raise up the low and the humble and to bring down the haughty and proud. So you can probably see lots of examples of that in Hannah's prayer. Lots of the verses are about that. And because this happens at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book, it's quite a good clue about what the story in the middle is about. So God works through great reversals. And so with somebody next to you, Callum, I think you can put the next slide up. Although it's not that important, but just so you know. With someone next to you, I'd love you to ask the question, can you think of a great reversal that God works in 1 Samuel? Great, okay. Lots of people talking. So could we have a few? Could we feedback a couple great reversals that God works in 1 Samuel? Don't be ashamed to take the easy, low-hanging fruit. David and Goliath. There we go. Very good, Trisha. So that's an easy one. Little, small, humble. David, big, scary, mean Goliath. David gets the victory. Goliath falls. Hannah has a child. And in fact, more, six children in the end. So her story with Penina, the other wife, where she gets mocked for not having any children, God reverses. Eli and Sons, yeah. Do you want to say any more about that? Yeah. Yeah, great. So they, with Samuel, that's a kind of nice swapping of places. Eli and Sons, they die. And Samuel is raised up as a faithful priest. Yeah. Yeah. The Philistines humbled and the whole Ark of the Covenant saga, which is a great read. Saul and David. Yeah. So slightly bigger picture version. Yeah. So if you zoom out a bit. Nabal. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to say his name either. I'm going with Nabal, but Nabal. Yes. Yes. And David marries his wife. Yeah, I know. Quite a turnaround. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Saul's own story sort of does both by himself in the reverse order of this. So he kind of gets brought up and then comes down. Yes, yeah, yeah. So David and his brothers, they're the obvious choices. He's the overlooked one, but he's the one that gets raised up to be king. One of my favorites is Jonathan's story, him and his armor bearer, as they run out, just the two of them, and rout the Philistine army. You'd never pick them, would you? Like, just two little people versus an army. But they get the victory. Good. Okay. Well, so that's lots of examples to go on. We'll see it over and over again. God works through great reversals. And Hannah's prayer is really helpful at the start. It basically gives you the categories for those reversals. It gives you kind of good and bad. So if somebody is high and mighty, then they probably won't last very long. Anybody boasting in their own strength or mocking somebody else for being weak, they'll probably swap places. Anybody who's fat and rich will probably have everything taken away. Anybody who's hungry and needy will probably be fed and given things. They all add to this theme, this pattern of the way that God works. God's salvation is a great reversal. It's about vengeance and justice. David says later in the book, the Lord has avenged him. So if you're a Marvel fan, God is the first Avenger, not Captain America. That was for you, Ken. But Hannah's prayer also focuses us in a bit on a particular aspect of great reversals, okay? So a particular aspect of God's salvation where we should expect to see this pattern. She helps us apply it, the way that God works, to the leadership of God's people. So if you've moved on, just reopen 1 Samuel 2. And long before Saul or David or anybody becomes king of Israel, Hannah is already expectantly praying at the end of verse 10. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This great reversal stuff is going to particularly cash out in the kind of leader God's people need, how he will save them, and what it would be like to follow that leader. So I've put on your sheets my working main point for 1 Samuel, which hopefully you can help me improve over the year. God alone will save through his own kind of king. And I've put three kind of aspects to that I think the book teaches us. I think it teaches us the way that God works, salvation through great reversals. I think it teaches us the kind of king we need and how God will establish him. And I think it teaches us how to trust and wait as we follow that kind of king. So those are a few things that we'll try and unpack over the rest of this morning, especially what is God's kind of king? That's then quite an important question to ask. And we'll look a bit more at the structure and see if that helps. But I'd love us, before we do that, to say something about 1 Samuel's biblical context. So we've got our last two Kahoot questions. And these ones are, you have to put them in order. So just be aware. This is an ordering question. So first of all, put these books of the Bible in order. Yes, I think it's a drag. The order that you'll find in the Bible in front of you, Toby. I'm trying to think if it would make a difference. There you go. So that's the answer. Well done. Well done to 24 of you. Fake it. And we'll do the next question as well. Put these leaders of Israel in order. Megan's missing the Kahoot music. She's singing it for herself. Oh, thanks, Carl. There we go. Oh, it's a bit more eerie than I remember it being. I'm not sure that's the vibe we're going for on the leaders training day. Okay. Very good. Well done. Good. Okay. You thought that we were doing 1 Samuel this year. I've already told you should probably read 2 Samuel. And it turns out maybe you should have started in Judges. So Samson is the last judge in the book of Judges, born, interestingly, of a barren woman. So funny that God likes to do that so much. And the book of Judges is all about God raising up leaders to rescue his people from their enemies and, for a short time at least, restraining the sin of God's people. But the whole thing, if you know the book of Judges, you'll know the whole thing is a downward spiral. They sin and turn away from God, and he, in response, gives them back into the hands of their enemies, and the cycle just repeats over and over again. And one of the obvious issues in the book of Judges is that the judges keep on dying. And in their absence, the people fall back into sinning even worse than before. Reasonably famously, the last line of the book ends, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." So God's people are in this recurring leadership crisis. Their holiness is at an all-time low. And the obvious implication of those final words is that they need a king. So even just from zooming out a little bit in the Bible story, I think we can understand why the idea of a king might be important to discuss at this point in time. And remember, 1 Samuel is just half the book. In 2 Samuel 7, God will promise David his kingdom will last forever through his son. And despite David's own eventual failure and the inadequacies of his kingship, he finishes by looking forwards, looking beyond his story, to the king to come from his descendants. He says, "For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever." And then he says, "For he has made with me an everlasting covenant." And, you know, Jesus says the whole Bible is about him, so maybe that's not a surprise. And why would the Old Testament authors write about anything other than God's great salvation plan? But this author is particularly explicit, I think, that the story goes beyond just David. And points to something greater to come. And the Davidic king will still be absolutely key in God's salvation. So this book is a kind of blueprint for the anointed king. It should help us understand more the type of king we needed in Jesus. Why he looks and acts the way that he does. And what it will mean to be his followers. So hopefully those already seem like pretty good reasons to study 1 Samuel. We're going to take a quick break there. Go to the loo, stretch your legs, and then we'll start again in 7 minutes.